All right, grab your Bibles. We have a lot of scriptures to look at this morning. I am going to get off the runway shortly, but I got to share some things about that have happened in my life over the years. Way back when, I was hired at a concrete plant, but I had to quit because the job got so hard. I had a friend years ago that was fired from his job at the road department for stealing. I have to say, I saw it coming. The last time I was at his house, all the signs were there. I had another friend. It's about three left. But he worked at a watch factory. And the guy, he was just hilarious. All day, he stood about making faces. Some of these you'll get about 10 minutes from now. When I was 20, I was super good with my chainsaw, so the company I worked for, they made me branch manager. My dad, because this goes way back, he'll be, I think, 71 next week, so he was a telegraph operator for some time. And once he accidentally sent the same message, but he was remorseful. There was a secretary once was in her office, and she was frantically looking for those fake nails. But she realized she had filed them away. Pretty good stuff, huh? I got the high school, they're at least listening now, because when the preaching comes, I'll lose them pretty quick. Way back in the old days, those that made false teeth were indentured servants. Those that work with air ducts have lots of opportunity to vent. The people building fences were upset with their working conditions, so they picketed. That was a rough one. Let me see here. There was a man who retired and was given a watch. He said, "It's about time." No. I did like this one, though. The dairy farmer, while milking his cow, strained his calf in the process. I like that one. My boss does not tolerate any beards or mustaches. He's a real shave driver. Oh. This lady came to work every day. She wore a new hairpiece. She was considered a bigwig. All right, let's get to the real stuff. Take your Bibles and turn to, we're going to look at two passages of Scripture. I kind of feel like I should be preaching out of Revelation this morning. Took Dr. Mitchell's Revelation class and was feverishly finishing up projects last evening, but I feel like the Lord wants me to go this route. How many have ever done something that was super embarrassing? We won't have any testimonies right now. I remember when I was a kid, something would happen, whether it be in teen Sunday school or in teens, and whether your name was called out or not, everybody knew who it was, and you'd have this feeling going up your neck, like it was just getting really warm. And then you have your ears turn really red. It was like, obvious, he's the dork, all right? He's the one that's in trouble. Embarrassment. To this day, I prefer not getting up in front of people. I'd rather everybody else get up in front and just kind of do behind. I just don't like to be in front of people, in front of crowds. I just like to be kind of by myself, believe it or not. A lot of times because I've embarrassed myself. But embarrassment is not so bad because as time progresses, you can laugh about it. For instance, probably one of the most embarrassing things that's ever happened in my life was when I first started preaching in evangelism and I chose to take my son Gideon along with me, and he was at the ripe old age of 3. He had sat in church, I think, 3 times in our auditorium. And my wife says, "Eric, I don't know if it's such a good idea for you to take him because he's not going to be sitting with you. He's going to be sitting by himself." I'm like, "Ah, he's got this. He's 3. He could figure this out. It's time to man up." So, needless to say, I take him. We're up near Detroit area. And I go to this church service. And typically a church service is going to be such, you know, you sing a couple songs. The preacher will get up and give some announcements. They'll sing another song, special preaching time. And so I'm here, Gideon sitting next to me. We're in the 2nd row. Everybody else is about 4 rows behind us. It's just he and I. Life is okay at this point because Dad's next to his son. So we sing one song, and without any warning, the preacher gets up and says, "All right, Brother Amos, come on up and preach to us." I have not had ample time to give a warning to my 3-year-old, who will now be sitting by himself for the next however long. You know where this is going. So I go up to the pulpit, I begin preaching, and I see this little head pop up. By this time, he's already bored, I assume. And he starts running back and forth in the pew. This is not good. Not good at all. And so I'm trying, you know, he's short, so maybe they just, maybe they think it's a squirrel. I don't know. I can't quite see his head and his teeth hanging out there, so we're good. And he goes and sits back down. All is well. About halfway through the preaching, all of a sudden there's this loud voice. "Dad, I gotta go potty." About then, it was over. I have never been invited back. That was embarrassing. I don't think I've even called that pastor to see if I can come back. But I can look now and look back and say, you know what, that was funny. I remember, honestly, getting into my car, getting my phone, calling my wife and saying, "You were right, I was wrong." She likes to hear that every once in a while. Those are embarrassing moments. But there's something that goes beyond embarrassment. And that is the word shame. Because shame, you feel embarrassed, but you can't, a year or 2 or 3 down the road, you can't laugh about it. You can't look and say, hey, remember that time when we got kicked out of school? Wasn't that wonderful? You just don't have, there's shame there. And I've been there. And so while you look at embarrassment and you can laugh about it later, you don't like to go through that moment, but it's okay. But when it comes to shame, it's something we all want to avoid, don't we? The Bible says a son left to himself bringeth his mother shame. You know what I want to, even to this day as a 40-year-old, I want to please my parents. I don't want my parents to have to hang their head and say, my son is this or that or the other. I want to please my parents, and I trust you do too. There's something about shame. Today I present to you a very, very elementary, basic message on shame, a life that brings shame, or a life that will bring, excuse the words here, shine, if I can use the term. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless us this morning. God, these 2 simple points that I have, I trust can be helpful to all of us here. We're going to look at familiar passages, and while we do so, I often wonder how quickly we push these things out of our mind because we know the stories that are involved here. And I pray that you'd take these thoughts that are on paper and put them into our hearts. Just maybe 2 weeks ago when I read one of these verses, it's just kind of stuck with me. And I pray that maybe 1 or 2 here would allow the Word of God to stick with them. So would you help us this morning in the time that we have, in Jesus' name, amen. Judges chapter 16, why don't you turn there? This is probably a passage that you may be able to quote. I want to look at 2 men, and I want to say this, These are two men that are men of God. They were used by God, but in the end of their life, we're going to see really two different conclusions, two different endings. The name Samson. When you say that name, you often think of, I don't know, different things. I like to think of sometimes in a positive light. Him taking 1,000 Philistines and wiping them out with the jawbone of a donkey, that's pretty impressive. I'd like to see him taking that lion and literally with his bare hands ripping it to shreds. That's pretty impressive. I'd like to picture him as he carries the gates of the city. And I mean, picture the people thinking, we've got him now. And all of a sudden, the city gates start moving and they start walking away. You'd say, I think we're dealing with something a little bit different than what we planned. Samson was a mighty man. The Bible speaks he was moved by the Spirit of God at times. And that's a warning for us to not only be moved at times, but to be moved all the time. But Judges chapter 16, verse number 20, we find a phrase here. It says this, towards the end of the verse, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He had gotten so far along in his ministry that I think we could say it in our terminology, he got in the flesh. You know what I'm talking about? You just begin to get busy, you get active, you do what you've always done, and you don't even realize that you need the help of God. And when you do realize it, you don't even realize he's gone from you. So the idea of wist not, he knew not that the Lord was departed from him. Now turn over to Exodus chapter 34. Keep your finger in Judges because we're going to buzz through a bunch of verses. We'll see what time we have. I just finished going through the book of Exodus, and when I hit Exodus chapter 34, verse 29, I came across a phrase that we just read, a similar idea. It says, and it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses, what's the next two words? Wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So here's Moses, and he's standing in front of the people, and the people are kind of avoiding him, if you will, and obviously know what happens. They get a veil to cover his face. He didn't even know that God was all around him, if I can use that term. So you have Samson, in a sense, his life ends, a life of shame. He didn't even realize God was departed from him. And you have Moses, as he's ministering and as he's speaking to people, he's not even aware that God is shining on his face. There's something about a countenance that's really important. I used to think that my youth pastor knew everything about me. You know, in a sense, they did. I'll tell you how. It was written all over my face. You know, we can generally tell, this sounds spooky, don't take it this way. You can generally tell when people are walking with the Lord. It's written all over your face. It's kind of funny to me when you talk to somebody. I can tell when my kids are lying because they can't look at me. Hey, did you do that? No. No. Don't know what you're talking. I know. I don't have to quiz them and grill them. I don't have to, you know, do the inquisition on them. I can generally tell because it's written all over their face. And I'll tell you what, it would do us well for us to have people look at us and say, man, I can tell that he or she has the glory of God all over them. Moses didn't even know it. But when people looked at him, says, wow, something's different about him. And I know if I were to ask everyone here, do you want a life of Samson, a life that ends in shame? Or do you want a life of Moses, a life that, if again, I can use the term, a life that shines? I think 100% of this crowd would say, I want a life that shines with the glory of God. But can I tell you, I'm going to give you two ways this morning. Number one, this is how you're going to have a life that shines. Number one, much of this depends on the places that we frequent. Much of this depends on the places we go. I'm going to give you 2 points. We're going to talk about the place, and and we're going to talk about prayer. So if you're taking notes, write those down. But here we go, Judges chapter 14. Let's go ahead and grab our Bibles. I want you to turn with me. I want you to see these passages of Scripture. We're going to compare Samson and Moses. Let's start with Samson. Let's find out the places that he resides. Judges chapter 14, verse 1. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. He went and he found himself a Philistine wife. He was counseled by his parents, don't. But he had a better idea. He had a better plan. They told him, is there even a lady amongst our own people? Get with the right crowd. But no, Samson enjoyed his time of fellowship with the Philistines. Next, we find he found himself comfortable in the pleasantries of the enemy. Now, think about it just for a moment. If you're fighting somebody, you don't want to be with them. I don't. I don't want to be on the opposing side. I kind of want to be with my group, and I know I'm fighting the enemy, but for some reason, Samson wanted to be with the enemy. He preferred the presence of the woman over that of his parents. Look at verse 3 of chapter 14. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Look at verse 7. And he went down and he talked with the woman, and she pleased him well. There's some things that's interesting to note. When Samson kills a lion, he doesn't tell his parents. Now, if I killed a lion, everybody would know more than once. Hey, did you see? I killed that lion. 10 years later. Hey. If you study the passage, he kills a lion and never even tells his parents. But he was comfortable talking with the Philistine woman. Now, we're going to get to this in the second point, but some of you boys, it's amazing how you can talk with each other, but you have a hard time talking to your parents. You can say amen. Maybe not. Some of you girls, you can talk to everybody else about this, that, and the other, but when it comes to mom and dad, for some reason, you plead the fifth. You see, Samson found himself comfortable with the enemy. He found himself comfortable with the Philistines. But when it came time to his parents, he couldn't really chat with them. Oh, he could talk with the Philistine woman because she just made him so happy. She pleased him well. I'm talking about the place. Again, verse 9, it says, and he took therefore in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother and gave them, and they did eat, but he told not them that he had taken honey out of the carcass of the lion. So he kills the lion, doesn't say anything about it. He pulls this honey out, which he's not supposed to have anyways, and he goes and doesn't tell his parents. But man, he could talk with the Philistines. Listen, be aware of this. When you're free to talk with friends and you're not free to talk with those in authority, something just might be wrong. You better watch the place that you frequent. Last week we were talking in our family devotions, and I posed this question to my children. Why are dad and mom here in this house? Now think about it just for a moment. Why do I have four children in my house? What is my purpose? And one of my children had this deep thought. You know, Karis, just her alarm goes off, and she kind of comes out and just curls up on the couch. I don't know what her thoughts were. But Titus, Marissa, Gideon. And one of them said, Dad, you're here to help us. Yeah. But God just really smote my heart when they answered that, because that's the problem with us. Because when we come to Bible college, when we go to a youth group, when we go to the different programs, when we go to church, we come in with the attitude that everybody's here to help us. That's a wrong attitude. My job in my home is to prepare my children to serve Him. Because it won't be long before they're going to be out of my house. And so after they're gone, then what's my purpose? But if we understand that when I come to church and when I come to Bible college, they're not here to help us. We're here to train you to please the Lord. Instruction becomes important. Watch this. Correction becomes important because it's not about an institution. It's about a person. And when somebody comes and says, Eric, you're wrong, I'm okay with that because I'm not trying to please them. I'm being prepared and better to please him. And if we get the right attitude in our homes, we get the right attitude in the dorms, we get the right attitude in the ministry, we get the right attitude in the church and wherever you go following this time, listen, you say, man, I just want to please God. Correction is not that hard. Because I want to be corrected so I can be better for God. Now, I slowed down a little bit, sorry. But the idea of this, we get comfortable. It's all about us. And that's what he said, get her for me because she pleases me so well. She makes me so happy. He missed the point of why he was here. He found himself enjoying the parties of the enemies. Look at verse 10 and 11. So his father went down into the woman. This is Samson wanting to have this wedding. And Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. Can I say this? The world will always bring acquaintances to you. Every time. They will. They're going to be there. There's something about entertainment and pleasure that generates a crowd. It's amazing when I prepare for fair day. The booths are up and all the little kids show up. I had 5 helping me, but now I have 30 there. Right, Clint? Clint was there. When all the booths were up, he was helping me out. And then now the balls are out, the games are out, and here come the little kids because it's time to play. That's the world. The world is about entertainment, and when there's a feast, 30 people are going to show up. You know, Samson found himself enjoying the parties of the enemy. But let me say this. When you don't dance to the tune of the world, when you don't follow their pattern, they get really cutthroat. This, if you don't follow the path of this transgender stuff, I was just reading about the governor of North Carolina and how everybody's praising the NCAA and all this type of thing because they're moving all these things away from North Carolina because he just won't follow this bathroom bill. You know what? Millions and millions of dollars are going to be lost because this one guy won't stay. Listen, when you go away and you start to go against the flow of this world, guess what's going to happen? They're going to get really cutthroat. Now, they're going to come and, like in Ezra's day, they said, hey, we'll help you. We'll join you. Even Nehemiah, we're going to make an alliance with you. But when they refused, they got really angry and they caused, in both cases, the work to cease because they're not your friend. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to make threats to you. Look at Judges chapter 14, verse number 15. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle. And that sounds really good. But look what the result is if he doesn't. Lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Now, they were Samson's friends, and all he did was put a joke out. Really, all it was going to cost them was a change of garments. But listen to me. This world is not your friend. And they're going to throw these threats out, but look at chapter 15. Then the Philistine said, who had done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken up his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up. Look what happened. And they burnt her and her father with fire. I mean, they made threats and we said back, come on. They did this. The world is your enemy. And I'm here to warn you. We're a second week into school, a couple weeks into school with the academy. And you know what? The world's going to come along and they're going to smile at you and they're going to entice you and they're going to want to be your friend and it's going to look so nice. But I tell you what, it has an agenda. And it's not pretty. Samson finds out the hard way. So I said he finds himself with these Philistine associations and you get to chapter 16, verse number 1. Now we think Samson and Delilah, but even before Delilah comes along in verse number 4, he's hanging out in the houses of harlots. He's hanging out in the tents of these wicked ladies that are trying to ruin him, and he's just going about his business, still thinking he's got God with him, still thinking all is well, and we see the result. Listen, when you play games with the world, when you allow yourselves to be involved with all this garbage, it's going to catch up to you. He didn't even know God was departed from him. That's negative, isn't it? Can we turn over to Moses now? I like this. Moses seemed to find the right place and spend the majority of his time with who? With God. Look at Exodus chapter 24. And maybe I'll just get one point done today, but that's okay. Moses seemed to spend the majority of his time with God. From the time at the burning bush, you see the Lord in a relationship again and again and again and again. They speak, they talk, they fellowship. Chapter 24, verse number 2, for sake of time. And Moses alone shall come near to the Lord. Chapter 24, verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there. Look at verse number 18. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Now I want you to be honest with me this morning. Can you do that? How much time, and I'm pointing the finger to myself, how much time do you truly spend with God? Now, Pastor Dameron challenged us Saturday morning, you that were in bus meeting. I believe he challenged us Sunday night. When was the last time you had a sweet hour of prayer? Now, I'm not standing up here and saying, I'm the Mr. Spiritual. Please don't misunderstand me. 40 days and 40 nights. You ever wonder why Aaron was always getting himself into trouble, building the golden calf, murmuring? Because Aaron was always hanging out with the people. I'm the first one that likes to be around people. I like crowds. I like activity. I think that's why they threw me with the college activities, because I like fun. I don't like to be alone. Just not enjoyable. Good. Mm-hmm. Yep, buddy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Titus does not like to be alone. He can't function. Titus, go over there, read for an hour. 5 minutes, like, hey, Dad. But Moses found himself alone. Now, can I help you? You that are training for the ministry, you better find a closet somewhere. You have to. You have to. It's not fun. It's not exciting. But listen, you have to find a closet. I know you've got rooms. You better find somewhere on campus. Find a closet. Find a cave. Find something. And learn to meet with God. Moses did. I believe it's 105 times that it said the Lord spake unto Moses in the scriptures. Why? Because Moses learned to listen. And God's going to speak to those who are going to speak back to him. You better find a place. But the people got real antsy in chapter 32, verse 1. It says, when the people saw that Moses delayed. How quickly are we ready to get off of the mount with God? How quickly does that ding of the phone, the buzz of the text come, and it just steals away your attention? You know what I'm talking about. I'm in my house, ding, ding, and it's not even my phone, and my attention is drawn away. Can I encourage you, when you meet with God, shut it off, put it away somewhere, stick in a different room, because when you're there and you're talking to God, ding, you've lost your attention, it's away from God. This is practical stuff. But Moses had to come to a point where he got away by himself, watch me, 40 days and 40 nights. No distractions. And it wasn't even that he went down off the mountain. God had to send him off the mountain because the people were sinning. God says, you need to go down there. And I always wonder if Moses thought, I just like it here. I just want to stay here. Are you with me? This is not rip roar, but this, I'm not screaming about soul winning, Dustin. I'm not screaming about going to the mission field and having your heart eaten by cannibals. I am saying, though, you better have time with God. And I'm preaching to myself as well. If you don't, and I have people tell me this all the time. I was at camp this summer, and a girl comes up to me. She's been in college for 2 years, and she says, "Brother Ames, please pray for me. I have a hard time having my devotions." I know it's a problem. I had the problem. I know it's, but there comes a point where you just have to push everything else out of your schedule and say, I must have a time and place with God. When nobody's pushing you and nobody's saying, you have to do this, and here's your little block, and here's your little log. No, you just need to come and say, you know what? I'm pushing everything. I just need God. When Moses was tested with failure, he went to Egypt and he told the people, I'm here to deliver you from the land. He thought everybody was going to be bowing down to him, and they came and said, what are you doing here? Who made you a ruler over us? You made us have a bigger workload. And Moses, he went right to God. This is so important, the place that you need to have. Do you want God's blessing? I know you do. It's a dumb question, isn't it? Do you want that glory of God to show in your life? Can I warn you? The world is all around us. It comes in big boxes with flat screens. It comes in smaller boxes with smaller screens. And it comes in even smaller boxes with smaller screens. None of those things necessarily are bad, but the world is pumping its way at you. It's pumping its way at me, trying to distract me from the place. We can sit, I laugh at my kids, they can watch movie after movie after movie after movie, and when I say it's time to shut it down, just one more. Just two more. Just six more. But I wonder if prayer meeting, we're ready to be interrupted. Preaching myself. I gotta go, 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 I gotta go. We won't say any names, but Rick, when you were dating, how annoying was it when people came and interrupted you? Because it was focus time. This is serious stuff. When I was a freshman, I made a game of it. Of course, our snack shop was right out here. And especially the guys that grew up with me, they'd be sitting at a date, I'd just walk up. Hey, how's it going? Look at me. Get out of here. Shut up. But there's something about you want to spend time with that person. Nothing wrong with that. And you want no interruptions. And I know it's difficult in a dorm room setting, but I just want to challenge you. Find a place. There's empty rooms. It's a pretty big campus. Now, I'm not recommending, you know, in the wintertime you go make an igloo. I'm not recommending that. But Moses had a place, and that place was with God, and it wasn't with the people. And if you study later on, he would go in the tabernacle. And if you read Joshua, there was a time when Joshua departed not out of the tabernacle either. Why did God use them? Because they had a place. And while I love activity and I love commotion and I love all the, there comes a point where you just have to slip away and find God. Very few guys that I went to college with, I hang out with now. Not that they're bad guys, it's just, but I still have him. And when you find that relationship with Mike, find that relationship with God, Joe, Caleb, young ladies, you find that, don't give it up. You need that place. And when Moses came down from spending time with God, I try to picture this. There's this glow on his face. And the people, oh. Had to get a veil. You know why? He spent time with God. I never see Samson having a glow on his face. Never. the world does. You say, I have a problem getting away from the wrong friends. I'll tell you what, you get with God, those friends will run from you because that's foreign to them. But Samson could hang out with the Philistines because he didn't have the glory of God all over him. That was one point. Find a place. Find a place. Help us, Lord, today. Use this in some way. I feel like I jumbled it up just a little bit, but I trust that the point would get across. And that you help. I don't doubt that the majority of people here have the devotions. It wasn't really the point. But just this idea of finding a place that's not going to be interrupted and meeting with the God of heaven. If we just stop and dwell on that, we should want to be there. Doesn't matter how long. Let not our schedules run our life, but let the Savior run our life. So would you use this in some way? I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Go ahead and stand to your feet. We always have an invitation. Just meet with